continuing our study, Learning from the Pros. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and so if you have those booklets, and I didn't check to see if there were any more there, but if you have the booklets that of the series that we are going through, we're going out of order, turn all the way to the back. The very last study there, the praying of Paul. Praying of Paul. Walter Lewis Wilson, medical doctor and Christian, agonized over his fruitless efforts at witnessing. And some of you heard me tell this story on a Wednesday night a few weeks back, so bear with me again. But one day in 1913, a French missionary visiting in the Wilson home asked the doctor, "Who is the Holy Spirit to you?" Wilson replied, "One of the persons of the Godhead, teacher, guide, third person of the Trinity." The friend challenged Wilson, "You haven't answered my question." To this, Wilson replied sadly, "He's nothing to me. I have no contact with him and could get along quite well without him." Well, Dr. Wilson's view changed, and I'll tell you more about that later. But I think that what he said is true of many Christians. If they were honest, they would have the same view. The Holy Spirit is nothing to them. They have no contact with him, and they think that they could get along quite well without him. I want to challenge that thinking today, and I want you to see how important the Holy Spirit is to you, especially in praying. So you take God's word and turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And I don't know a more pertinent passage on praying in the Spirit than Romans chapter 8, the entire chapter, but I'm only going to read as our text this morning, verses 26 and 27. So that's Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. Praying in the Spirit is indeed the key to a vital prayer life. It is the answer to our indifference when God seems far away. It's the answer to our ignorance when we just don't know what to pray for. It's the answer to our weakness when we don't seem able to concentrate. It's the answer to our inability when we are not able to articulate the things that we'd like to articulate when we pray. Here are some other verses here on praying in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit always, with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Jude, verse 20, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit." See, to pray in the flesh is to fail. To pray in the Spirit is to succeed. The early church advanced, but it advanced on its knees. And if you learn how to pray in the Spirit, it will turn prayer from a drudgery to a delight. Now, in all of these messages of this series, we're looking at three things. We're looking at, first of all, the problem, and then we're looking at the prayer or the praying, and then finally, we're looking at the prevailing. And first of all, today again, we are going to look at the problem. Notice there, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought," as we should. Now, Paul in this passage mentions the weakness of the saints. Notice again there in verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our," the King James says, "infirmities," which means weaknesses. You have a weakness. I have a weakness. We all have it. It's an encouragement to me that the Apostle Paul did not say the Spirit helps you in your weaknesses. But he said the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. So we all have some weaknesses. We have some problems. What are they? Well, we have the problem of indifference. I mean, when you pray, the devil will move heaven and earth to keep you from praying. Have you experienced that? You go to pray, and whatever's on the stove boils faster than usual, and it starts to burn. All of a sudden, I don't know, the devil might have pinched one of your children or something, because all of a sudden they start crying out and screaming. The doorbell rings. The doorbell rings, doesn't it? Telephone rings. And just all kinds of things begin to happen, and you can't even get a clarity. You start to pray and you start thinking silly thoughts. You know, and I just got to focus. I got to get back on to praying. And then pretty soon the mind is wandering again. Does that ever happen to you, or is it just me? But I want you to know that this liability can be an asset. Okay? The problem can be turned into a blessing. How you ask? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because I want to refer to you to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. This is still the Apostle Paul. And he experienced weakness, as we said. Here he says is the answer, though, to that weakness. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's God saying that. Paul's writing it. "For my strength," Paul says, "is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, when we are weak, we depend on God, who is stronger than we could ever be. And so the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now, if we were not weak, we would not need His help. And so God wants to deliver us from the power of self-sufficiency. One of the greatest detriments, I think, in the Christian life is to get to the place where we think that we are sufficient in and of ourselves. Because if I am sufficient, then I don't need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I am weak, so I know that I need the strength of the Holy Spirit. So when I am weak, through Christ, I am strong. So actually, don't go around complaining about your weaknesses. Thank God for it. Paul said, "I rejoice in it. I boast in my weaknesses," because when you realize that weakness, you put your faith in God, and the Holy Spirit strengthens you way stronger than you could ever be without Him. Now, I want to look at the word help for a moment. It's a very interesting word. It means to take hold of, to take hold of. And that is to lay hands to in order to help. As a matter of fact, the only other time this word is used in the entire New Testament is used when Martha complained about Mary. Remember the story? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha came out of the kitchen and said to Jesus, "Tell her to help me." And this is what she was saying. She was, "Let her come into the kitchen and lay hold on these matters and get them done." Now, it's an interesting word, because it is a Greek word with a double prefix, and I know you've been waiting all morning just to hear that. But the first prefix means together with, and the second prefix means instead of. Together with and instead of. Now, that's very interesting. It almost seems like a contradiction. Together with and instead of. But the Holy Spirit helps together with us, and then the Holy Spirit does it instead of us. I'll explain as we go on, but it's a unique word. Together with and an instead of kind of help. It's not contradictory, but it's beautiful. The Holy Spirit of God does the work. But here it is, church. He will not do it apart from us. The Holy Spirit does the work, but He will not do it apart from us. It is together with us and then instead of kind of help. The Holy Spirit wants to speak. I'll put this very practically. The Holy Spirit wants to speak, but He wants to speak through your lips. The Holy Spirit wants to weep, but He wants to weep through your eyes. The Holy Spirit wants to groan, but He wants to groan through your spirit. He does it instead of us, and yet at the same time, He's doing it together with us. We need Him. He needs us. He wants to minister through us, but first of all, He has to minister to us. And He helps us in our weaknesses, and then He uses these vessels, these instruments of intercession to accomplish the great purposes of God in this world. Now I want to tell you some things that the Holy Spirit does as we pray in the Spirit. So we're going to move to the prayer. Part number two there on your outline. What will the Holy Spirit do in our prayer? One of the things that He will do is He will activate our will. He will activate our will to pray. In the flesh, we lack a desire to pray. In the flesh, it just wants to do what it wants to do. So how does the Holy Spirit of God activate our wills? Well, if you go back to the same chapter and you go back to verse 15, I've got it up here for you. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father." We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Daddy, Abba, Father. Now, there's the spirit of bondage. And that's what the devil wants to keep you in. He wants to keep you down. He wants, this is what he does. This is how he motivates the children of this world. But he's saying that when you get saved, when you're born again through the new birth, you give your heart, you give your life to Christ. We have received the spirit of adoption. What is this adoption? Well, when we are born again, we're born into the family of God spiritually. But we are also adopted into the family of God legally. And the spirit of adoption then means that we are heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have been adopted into the family of God. You think about that this morning. Let that sink in. You have been adopted into the family of God. We should have an amen there. I mean, that is one of the most incredible statements you could ever make. You are a child of the King. You have been adopted into the greatest family ever. You have a Father God who loves you. God puts His Holy Spirit into you. And here's what the Holy Spirit says. Abba, Father, Daddy. So church, it is normal, it is natural for the Spirit-filled Christian to pray. So if we, in our weaknesses, lack this desire to pray, you know what it's telling me? It's telling me that we need a refilling of the Spirit. It's telling me that we need to be filled with the Spirit. It is as natural for the Christian to pray, Abba, Father, as it is for any child on earth to talk to their dad. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He will activate your will to pray. Another thing that He will do is animate your body. Now, if you look at verses 10 and 11 of this same chapter, here they are for you. "And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that lives in you." When you pray, the Spirit will give your prayers life. When you pray in the Spirit will give you strength. He will strengthen even your resolve to pray. Do you know that it takes energy to pray? Honestly, it does. It takes more energy for me to pray a half hour than it does to preach an hour. It does. Real prayers work. It is a thing that just drains and saps your energy. Here's Jesus in the garden. He's praying, isn't he? And he wanted his disciples to pray. Watch and pray, he tells them, lest you enter into temptation. And Jesus goes and prays and he comes back and he finds the disciples and what are they doing? They're asleep. You know what he said? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, if they had been filled with the spirit, it would overcome the weakness of their flesh and they would have prayed. I think a lot of times we're sleeping when we should be praying, and it's because we're not praying in the Spirit. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that Spirit is going to quicken, it's going to make alive your mortal body. There's something about the Holy Spirit that gives you energy. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is joy. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy. And remember what it tells us in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's right. So we pray, the Holy Spirit gives us joy. That joy turns into strength. And here's the third thing about the prayer, is that the Holy Spirit adapts our requests in prayer. Dr. Herschel Hobbs gave this illustration. Let me illustrate it. Hey, Dave, would you come up here? Just stand there facing me, if you would. Dave's got a wagon, a team of horses. He's going up a hill, and he's got some bundles of hay, or let's call it cotton, on the back. He's got his 500-pound bundle. I'm not a farmer. Can you put cotton into a bundle like that? If you can't, pretend you can. So he's going uphill, and this thing falls off. Well, Dave, he can't lift it on his own. I pass by and I see him. He's struggling with that. He's trying to lift it up and get it back into the trailer, but he can't do it. So I say, Dave, what are you doing? And he says, well, I lost this bundle off the back of my wagon. I'm trying to get it up here, but I can't do it. You know what I'll say? I'll say, I'll help you, right? That would be the neighborly thing to do, the nice thing to do. I'll help you. So Dave bends down. Go ahead, Dave. Can you bend down? Okay. And I bend down. And we pick it up together, right? One of those prefixes that I talked about in this word help means anti or against. But this is what it means. It means that we are standing against together each other, but we are face to face with each other. I want you to understand that this is what the Holy Spirit does for you. You come across a burden in your life. You need somebody to help you lift that burden. Well, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and the Holy Spirit says, let me help you. Let me be your helper. And together, face to face, you become face to face with the Holy Spirit. And together, you lift that burden and you relieve yourself of it. Thanks, Dave. You did a great job. You're sitting too close to me, so I might need to use you again. So there's this vital relationship that we need to have with the Holy Spirit. We need to be face to face with Him, He with me and I with Him. And He takes hold, and together we accomplish it. Together we get it done. I can't do it without Him. He's not going to do it without me. And the way that we do this is through prayer. This prayer is a mystery. But the Holy Spirit takes it and He adapts our prayers to what God says we need. What should I pray for? Sometimes I don't know. Honestly, sometimes I don't know what I should pray for. You can't pray for everything in the world. You know that? The Holy Spirit will lay things on your heart, lay burdens on your heart. This is what you need to pray for. Sometimes I come up against a situation, I don't know how to pray in that situation. I don't know what God's Will is in that situation. I may seek him, but I don't know. I don't know what I should do. But it's the Holy Spirit then who reveals to me or overrides my will sometimes, my prayers, and presents them to God according to his will, which is the prevailing. Romans 8:27, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit leads you into the presence of God. Have you ever tried to pray and your prayers just seemed like they hit the ceiling, bounced off, came back? You didn't feel like you were getting anywhere. The heavens were closed, sounded like brass. I mean, they just hit the ceiling, bounce back to you, and you just can't seem to get through to God. God seems light years away. And you pray, but you can't seem to prevail. Well, again, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit who ushers us into the presence of God. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have access by one, who? Spirit to the Father. Now listen very carefully. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. To the Father through the Son in the Spirit. For by him, or through him, that's Jesus, we have this access by one Spirit into the Father. When you come before the throne of grace, you have a Father to pray to, you have a Savior to pray through, and you have a Spirit to pray in. Let me repeat that. You have a Father to pray to, you have a Savior to pray through, and you have a Spirit to pray in. Dave, come back. I'm sorry, but I don't have a Donald Trump mask, but I got a George Bush one. You might need to take your glasses off. We used to have a lot of fun with George Bush here. All right, I'm going to get you a throne. You all right? Can you breathe? You can't see, can you? You look just like him. Here, let me help you to the chair here. Turn around and sit. Well, let's pretend. We're back in the days where President Bush is president. Okay? The Obama years are over, or not having begun yet. And so we're back in time. And let's say, Glenn, you want to help me out? You get an invite by the president himself to come and see him. Now, even though you've got an invite, can you just walk into the White House through the main door and go right into the Oval Office and see the president?
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen, is it?
No.
Even though he's been invited, he still needs somebody to escort him, to bring him in to that presence. So somebody will come out and grab you by the hand. Well, they might not grab you by the hand, but they'll take you and they'll say, Mr. President, Glenn Melsine to see you.
Glad to meet you, Mr. President. Keep up the good job. I like your nose.
All right, here's what the Holy Spirit does. We have the greatest president, the greatest king ever, sitting on a throne in heaven. You are invited into his presence. But even so, you just don't rush into his presence. You have the Holy Spirit come and take you by the hand and usher you into the very throne room of God. We don't rush into His presence. We are brought in, we are ushered in by the Holy Spirit of God. Are you understanding the ministry, the role of the Holy Spirit this morning? I don't think we really, most of us don't realize what the Holy Spirit does. But He's the one that ushers us into the throne of God. And He is our helper. And He assists us in coming into God's presence. Thanks, both of you guys. You did a great job. You can get that off. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not ever going to be invited into the office of the president. But you are invited into a higher office than any president ever held. You are invited into the presence, the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's by Him, it's for Him, Jesus, that we have access by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is articulate our needs. You know, sometimes when we pray, we don't have the vocabulary. There's some things that we just can't put into words. You look again at this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us with our infirmities or our weaknesses because we don't know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that you can't be uttered. Now, sometimes there is praying in tongues. I'll get to that in a minute. But praying in tongues is not what's mentioned here because the word tongues is really a translation of the word. It means utterance. And this is groanings with no utterance, groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul did pray in tongues and in other places. He said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. So sometimes Paul says, I prayed with words that I understood, but there are other times when I just prayed in the Spirit, I didn't know what I was saying. I couldn't articulate those words. And so the Holy Spirit prayed through me using the words that I couldn't come up with in my limited vocabulary. He said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. So sometimes we don't have understanding of what to pray for or how to pray for it. But I love this designation and description of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. Here is the Holy Spirit that rests upon the Lord Jesus. Listen to it. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit that God wants to fill you with. Again, there are times when we don't have understanding what we should pray for, how we should pray, go about praying for it. This is where the Spirit will help us. Sometimes it is just with groanings. Yeah, you know what a word is? A word is like a truck. Or it's like a vehicle that delivers a thought from one person to another person. My thoughts are trucks that I'm trying to get you, deliver a message to you in this morning. But what happens if I come across something in my life that is too heavy for my truck? Too heavy for my words? I mean, I've got a 4-ton problem and I've got a 2-ton truck. My problem is bigger than I can express. We may have something that we don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to ask it. We don't know how to articulate it. And then we begin to pray in the Spirit. The Spirit prays through us. It's with groanings that it cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit says, I know you don't know how to pray for it. That's okay. I do. I'm the Spirit of understanding. Let me work through you. Let me groan through you. You groan and I will act. That's not too far off, because if you look at this passage back in Romans, Paul said in Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Well, like a woman travails in pain, giving birth to that child. She might groan and sigh and experience the pain. That's the idea of the Holy Spirit of God here in making deep intercession with us. Those things that you feel so deeply about, those hurts, those wounds, those sorrows, those pleas, those sighs. And you say, God, I don't know how to say it. Spirit of the living God, would you help me pray? And God's dear Holy Spirit moves in your heart, takes those inexpressible, unutterable, non-articulate desires, and He carries them to the throne of God. He prays for us instead of us. He prays together with us like a woman travailing in pain, giving birth. She's looking past that pain to the childbirth. I'm amazed at watching my wife give birth 10 times. See the pain that she's experienced while she's giving birth. The moment that baby is born, it's like there was no pain at all. She's consumed and wrapped up in that little life. And I think that's true with us as well. We groan, we sorrow sometimes in prayer, that we get to the point where we don't know how to pray anymore. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. The Holy Spirit comes. He ushers us into the throne room of God, and He prevails, and we travail together in prayer. He doesn't do it without me. I can't do it without Him. But together we travail. And you know, once the travailing is done and the burden is lifted, there's such great hope. There's such great joy. Now listen to me carefully. You can't pray in the Spirit, and you can't even pray in the name of Jesus until you are saved. You need to give your heart and your life to Christ. But you know, you could be saved and get in the flesh when you're praying. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you're saved, you need to be surrendered and filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember the story I began with. Dr. Walter Wilson was challenged by the question, who is the Holy Spirit to you? He heard a sermon by James M. Gray. Speaking from Romans 12:1, Gray leaned over the pulpit and said, have you noticed that this verse does not tell us to whom we should give our bodies? Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So he said, it does not tell us to whom we should give our bodies. It's not the Lord Jesus. He has His own body. It's not the Father. He remains on the throne. Another has come to earth without a body. God gives you the indescribable honor of presenting your bodies to the Holy Spirit, to be His dwelling place on earth. Wilson returned home and fell on the carpet. There in the quiet of that late hour, he said, my Lord, I have treated you like a servant. When I wanted you, I called for you. Now I give you this body from my head to my feet. I give you my hands, my limbs, my eyes and lips, my brain. The next morning, two ladies came to Wilson's office selling advertising. He promptly led both of them to Christ. And that was the beginning of a life of evangelistic fruitfulness. Wilson wrote, with regard to my own experience with the Holy Spirit, the transformation in my life on January 14th, 1914, was much greater than the change that took place when I was saved December 21st, 1896. He said the transformation, the change that came over him after he received the fullness of the Spirit, was greater than the transformation, the change that came upon him when he was saved. That's what he said. And he said, God is so good. So I urge you, brothers, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Does anybody know what the next word is? Will of God. Isn't that where we just came from? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us live in the will of God. But we need to yield ourselves We need to yield in particular our bodies to Him. Now, speaking in tongues is the initial way of knowing that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's some way that you could tell right away. There are other evidence, like Walter Wilson's ability to be able to lead people to Christ. That's what Acts 1:8 says. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. But let me add this. The ability to pray in tongues is not something that you want as a one-time experience. Because if you take this into your daily prayer life, it'll change things. Because again, the Holy Spirit has understanding. You don't know what to pray for sometimes, but you can just let the Spirit pray through you. But the Spirit will use your mouth. Right? He's not going to do it without you. You can't do it without Him. Here's some verses here that talk about this. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Acts 10:44-46. This is for Gentiles now, you and I. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. All the believers of the circumcision who had come with Peter were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know? For they heard them speaking in other tongues and magnifying God. Acts 19:6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Now, because the Holy Spirit has been outpoured, I don't think we have to tarry for it anymore. And that's my reason. I think the reason sometimes it takes a while for people to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because of them, not because of God. Not because God doesn't want to give it, but because they are a little hesitant or don't understand or not willing to surrender or one reason or another. But it's not God, because God says this, if you then being evil... And He doesn't mean evil, evil. He just means evil in comparison to His goodness. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How many of you parents like to give good gifts to your children? As much as you like it, God even more so wants to give you the good gift of the Holy Spirit. When you ask, raise your hands. Three reasons why. Three reasons why you should raise your hand when you ask for the Holy Spirit, dedicate yourself to God to be filled with His Spirit. Because asking is what a child does to his father. I take you all the way back to the first message in this series. If you remember the little girl who raised her hands to her grandpa and said, "Grandpa, help me a lot." This is what we're doing. God, help me a lot. I need you. The second reason we raise our hands is because everybody knows the raised hands is a universal sign of surrender. Lord, I surrender myself. I surrender my body to you. And the third reason why we lift hands is because when we are lifting, it's also an act of receiving. I receive. I take. I reach out and I take. Remember, the Holy Spirit won't speak without you. I think a lot of times people just think, oh, the Holy Spirit is going to take control and I don't know what's going on. That's not the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. He will not force you to do something. But remember, even more importantly, it is Him working together with you. It's a partnership. He uses your mind. He puts words in your mind. He uses your mouth to speak out those words. If you have not given the Lord your body to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, I invite you this morning, if you have been filled with the Spirit and you have lost your desire to pray, could I tell you, you need a refilling. Because that was what Paul said was evidence of being filled with the Spirit. One of the evidences. If you have been filled with the Spirit, but you've lost your power in witnessing. You've lost your desire to tell others about Christ. You need a refilling. It's interesting that the second time the disciples were filled there in the book of Acts, it says that they went then in power sharing the word, preaching the word of God. And if you are Spirit-filled and you've lost that song in your heart, maybe you don't sing in the shower anymore, you come to church and there's not a song that you take with you that you're singing throughout the day or the week, could I tell you? You need to be refilled with the Spirit. Because Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. And then he immediately says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So there are those evidences as well. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you today recognizing that we are weak, but also recognizing that there is help for our weaknesses. And so today we don't come in our strength, we come in the power of the Spirit, who's ushered us into your presence this morning. And if we could really see into the spiritual, we would see your throne. And we come boldly before that throne today that we might find grace and mercy and help to live the Christian life the way you would have us to live it, or to have help in our needs. Lord, I pray today that you would just accomplish what you would accomplish in the next few moments, which you want to, but even beyond that, with our lives, as we continue to daily live and walk in your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's what I'd like you to do today. If you have never offered your body to the Lord, I'm going to encourage you to come as Nikki sings. If you've never given your body to the Lord. Yeah, I'm not talking about being saved. You're saved. You've invited Christ into your life. But if you've never given your body to the Lord, you know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but you need to yield that to Him and let your mouth be His. Let your eyes be His. Let your feet be His. Every part of your body, let it be His, because He wants to fill every part of you. And so if you have not done that, or if you not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to come and ask. You ask and believe, because He wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He will give it. You just need to receive it. It's not a matter of whether or not He's willing. All right? So, Nikki, would you sing? If you want to come, you come. If you see people coming today and you're Spirit-filled, you've given your body to the Lord, just come and stand behind them. All right? So, come as Nikki sings today.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
If it's hard for you to get up here, build an altar where you're at. But I'm sure that there are more people here that have not given their body to the Lord, not received the fullness of the Spirit.
If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
I'm going to let you be dismissed. The dinner's provided. If these guys want to stay and pray, that's fine. Everyone else, you're invited to go down to the fellowship hall.